Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast, Jeremy Warner, and let's talk some hoops with our guy, Derek Piper. And what a week for Derek Piper. Gets married and gets back on the recruiting trail as well. This is like dream week for Derek Piper.
Yeah, no dreams because there's not been a lot of sleep. But other than that, it's been a whirlwind. It's been a lot of fun. It was a great wedding. Got a little mini honeymoon escape in there as well, which was nice. Down in Gulf Shores area, Alabama, made the drive back from honeymoon to hardwood and getting right back at it. So just to be back in the gym with coaches and seeing a whole bunch of prospects. So I was trying to think back. I'm guessing Peach Jam 2019, I think, was the last time you really had like a full week in the games and sitting next to coaches and doing the normal deal. So you were out there on Friday. I know you got a taste of it as well. And it was fun. It was great to be back out there.
No, it is just to see people again and see these coaches and talk to them and just build those relationships and to see players and, you know, kind of build relationships with them as well. It's something that's been missed when you just got to slide into DMs or whatever it is to talk to these kids, like you're an actual person to them. But did I see, Derek, can I ask, did I see Joe's Brewery was a part of this wedding?
Yeah, you definitely did. Yes. Yeah. That was where the reception was, and not the original plan because of, it ended up being a pivot option. We're trying to figure things out with capacities and everything, but that's where Haley and I met, and awesome. It just kind of came full circle. So that's where the reception was, and it was a lot of fun.
I remember Joe's Brewery was like, if you stayed on campus during the summer, like that was the place to be because that beer garden is just awesome. And it was quieter on campus. Like that was the place to be. So I imagine that's not too bad, but I like how that comes full circle. You meet her there and then you end up getting married there too. All right, Derek, what is it like out on the trail at these basketball events, like set up for people? Like what is your day like when you go to these?
Yeah, you got games. Really, you know, you think a full Saturday starting 8:30. They were kind enough to give us that extra 30 minutes. You know, you got some of these AAU events, 8 a.m. I always just remember seeing Brian Snow at 8 a.m. and he was always bright, smiley face. No, he was fairly miserable. But you started off early and you get a full slate of games and just, you know, you see these recognizable faces that, you know, if in our business, you're seeing at games and you see on TV, you know, Brad Underwood and other assistants, other coaches from the Big Ten, really all around the country. So for me, it's fun to be able to sit amongst those guys and sitting in the seats with them and kind of just talking about what you're seeing on the floor, just talking about summer workouts, anything. And that's really great for us. And it's just a cool opportunity for, you know, if you're a player with high major offers already, trying to make yourself a priority, make yourself someone that these coaches want to, you know, obviously press the gas for, or if you don't have that opportunity, it's a chance to prove yourself. So, you know, Norman West, you saw, you know, Brad was over there, Jarence Howard always making his face known in the Illinois area, D Brown. So some of those guys, our friend James Herring making his way now out on the scene with Radford. So, so up to Riverside Brookfield on Sunday, and look, it was just a good time seeing these guys up close and seeing some real games, some real action, and just again normal basketball scene for the summer. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and you think about these kids, Derek, they haven't had a chance to do this. You know, I talked with Asa Thomas this morning at a Lake Forest. As a freshman, they didn't go to these events, and he didn't have a sophomore year, which even for football, like between your sophomore and junior year is a big time to get some exposure and to get evaluated a little bit. They didn't have that. And even for a lot of these 2022 kids, where, you know, you can see a lot of growth between your junior and senior year going into your senior year, and those guys weren't able to get evaluated. So you're seeing a lot more 2022 offers maybe later on in this process than previously due to the pandemic, and they weren't able to be out there. So I want to break down some of the new offers and some of the scouting reports you have on some of these guys. But if you gave me one guy that you saw this weekend that you just said stock skyrocketing, who would it be?
It's Braden Huff from Glenbard West, the 6'10" big man that Illinois is late to the party on. They just offered last night, got in there. Jeff Alexander, Coach Underwood both talked to him and got in with an offer. He's Illinois Wolves, and he was the most impressive player that I saw in terms of just what I liked about him, his showing, and you know, on the floor. And that's going up against, I saw JJ Taylor is one of the top 10 players in the country in his class in 2023. So Huff is extremely skilled. He's got the ability to shoot the three. I mean, he's bringing the ball up quite a bit for that team. He starts the game against New Trier, which was a really good competitive game that went down to the wire, gets two early threes, and then hits like a fallaway jumper in the mid post. He's just kind of that really skilled big man that you see at Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is in early, and they're prioritizing him. Illinois is trying to get in there and see what they can do. But he looks like – I mean, he's a no-doubt top 100 prospect. And with the way things are going with A.J. Casey, I'm not saying that he's passing him. You have Jaden Shute in that class as well. But there are conversations amongst coaches like, is he the best player in the state? And that's something that – he put it on display all weekend, and I saw him on Sunday, and it was just like, wow, there's so much to his game. And he does need to get stronger, and you do question maybe some defensive things or rebounding, but just kind of offensive skill set, being able to run offense through him, being able to score at all multiple levels. He was really, really impressive.
And we know how important that four position is for Illinois in future recruiting and how much they've struggled to recruit that position. But I do think one thing's interesting. The Illinois Wolves has had a really good program for a long time, the AAU program. And Illinois extends an offer to Braden Huff, who they really weren't in on, you know, under the previous assistant coaches. Jaden Shute has been a priority for a long time for them. I know Asa Thomas, another kid that plays for the Illinois Wolves, a 2023 sharpshooter who just went off this weekend. Up at Riverside, Brookfield had a couple 30-point performances up there. They're kind of seemingly getting more involved there, Derek. So what was behind not offering Braden Huff, and is there anything to them kind of focusing more on some of these Wolves players?
Yeah, Mike Mullins has some good talent. And you throw Jalen Quinn in the mix as well, who may not end up being a Big Ten guy, but definitely a priority mid-major level. He's got some good players. And in terms of Huff and the offer – not coming earlier. It was obviously tough to evaluate just not having a normal summer and coaches not being able to get out on the recruiting scene. And it depends on the coach or depends on the film or whatever it may be. But a lot of guys like to evaluate in person and kind of, you know, be able to see them in a game setting before they prioritize or offer or whatnot. But I would say Illinois dropped the ball there because there was some available tape and the Wolves were having some weekend runs where Max Christie was still, you know, out there on the court with them. Chris Hodges is going to Wisconsin. So they pieced a lot of good players together, and they were sending out this film. And I remember I mentioned Brian Snow hitting me, and it was like, man, Braden Huff is really, really good, and I'm going to probably rank him in the top 100. What's Illinois doing there? And feedback was, well, we kind of want to see him in person, and we'll kind of move from there. But other Big Ten programs, Wisconsin, Northwestern, you had Virginia Tech get in there. All offered him last summer and have made him a priority. So Illinois was behind there and just didn't really make any traction or really make a whole lot of effort with him, with Chin Coleman and with Orlando Antigua. But now that, you know, Brad saw Braden on Friday and they watched him, Tyler Underwood out in the trail with Jeff Alexander on Saturday, saw him again Sunday. And it's like, this guy is just really, really good. And we need to do whatever we can to try to get in now and try to push the gas. So, and yeah, just again, I think the new staff with Alexander, they want all programs in the state to feel like it's a big deal to Illinois, where Mac Irvin, obvious connection with Chin and the relationship there. It was just maybe there was a disconnect when it came to the Mean Streets or Illinois Wolves. And there have been some players that you made efforts at that just it didn't happen. But there needs to be more of a balance in terms of the relationships, and they're really trying to make hay or make headway with Mike Mullins in that program, because again, he's got good talent.
So do you think Illinois can become a player here, Derek, for Braden Huff?
That's a good question. I know that I've heard that Braden was obviously, you know, miffed by the fact that the in-state program didn't offer or give him even really a look. Didn't make a phone call to him when, again, there was his game on film and other Big Tens called him. So you'd have to kind of wait and see his response. It sounds like the initial conversations last night were positive, but we'll see if he takes a visit. They're going to want to do that. He's got official. I don't know if he took it already to Wisconsin. So they're really trying to push that. And it remains to be seen how much Illinois can do. But I'd say, you know, before AAU starts, can they get Huff on campus? That would be a good indicator to me whether he'd give Illinois a serious consideration.
They also offer Asa Thomas out of Lake Forest, Morris Johnson out of Chicago, St. Rita. The 2013 class, I think Illinois has offered 10 kids in-state prospects. Like, that class is starting to look pretty deep at the very least here, Derek.
Yeah, 23 is really good. You can look at Kenwood, and you have three high major prospects right now. And you think J.J. Taylor, Day-Day Ames, lefty point guard that's really good and can really score it. And then Davis Lowry, who LSU's come on and offered. Illinois was in there really early. He's a 6'7", high motor forward that can do a number of different things. And and you throw in Asa Thomas. I've heard that – I didn't get a chance to see him in person this weekend, but there was a buzz about him as far as just pure shot maker and can really make shots from all over the floor. So it's really deep. It's really deep when you think about what's out there. And there's even guys that have left the state who have in-state ties, like Jeremy Fears, of course, who's top 30 point guard that Illinois has him right at the top of the list. Matas, I'm going to butcher his last name, who transferred out to the Northeast. He's another one who Eric Bossy's recently written about as maybe, you know, high four-star and conversation with him. So a lot of good talent. And then you mentioned Morris Johnson, 24. St. Rita has him and James Brown, the big man. That's really intriguing. There is, in future classes, some exciting talent for Illinois.
Yeah, and what'd you think of the Chicago Kenwood show? Just absolutely loaded. Like, you know, Nick Irvin leaves Morgan Park, Mike Irvin now at Kenwood, and Kenwood's got a good football program too, but the basketball program there is just absolutely loaded with talent.
Yeah, you could tell that Kenwood was about to play when you had maybe every coach in the gyms flock to that particular set of rims and just all the fans. And J.J. Taylor is incredible. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play in college, but he is. And I was looking up some of the composite rankings. The best player out of Illinois as far as composites go since Jahlil Okafor and Cliff Alexander in 2014. And I think – and it's easy now to have hindsight on how Cliff played out and Jahlil's limitations in the league, but J.J. is probably the best pro prospect since Jabari Parker to come out of the state of Illinois. And he's still got 2 years of high school to play, but he's just – he's got that Kevin Durant kind of play style and build. Is he going to – again, we've talked about this before. Is he going to be KD? That's way too high of a bar. But Day-Day I mentioned. And you throw in Trey Pettigrew now, who's back from – was at Fenwick with Bryce Hopkins. Good shooter. Went out to Arizona this past year. Now he's added to the mix as well. Has some high major opportunities. So 4 deep as far as high major guys with Kenwood. It was a show, like you said. It was fun and – they took the Calb a little lightly, but when it came time to play, JJ splashes like a 25'3" and put him away. So it was fun to check them out.
Some other offers go out in Minnesota. We've seen Chester Frazier, and I was talking with a coach over the weekend at this event, and they're saying Minneapolis has always had talent, but it has just exploded with basketball talent over the last decade or so. They've made some new offers in the Minneapolis area, but Chester Frazier's also made some offers down in Florida. So Chester's kind of been all over the country, and not surprising, he is grinding, but what do you take away, Derek, so far from the Underwood, Alexander, Frazier, and / Tyler Underwood on the road right now as we wait for that other assistant. What have you kind of made just their approach the first week on the trail?
Yeah, Chester is going to be someone that's just going to go wherever the talent is. He's got good connections. And again, we got to see it pan out and turn into commitments and load up those classes and be able to capitalize on these relationships. But he's someone that is a grinder. He starts out there in Washington, D.C. They're watching on Friday. I know Cam Whitmore out there from Maryland is a guy, 4-star wing that they're in on 2022. Probably get an official visit from him just based on previous connections with Chester. And then he goes to Minneapolis. And like you said, there's been good talent there for a handful of years here recently. Off the top of the head, you think of like Amir Coffey and Gary Trent from that area. So going up there and being aggressive. And we've heard of, you know, Texas, and I'm sure we're going to talk about Cam Corn is on campus for an official. That's, again, Chester recruiting that. So with Jeff, I know it's going to be fairly regional, but not, I don't think it's going to be limited to that. But I think that he definitely wants to make inroads. Brad Beal elite program down St. Louis area. We'll see what that third assistant's going to be as far as Chicago goes. But Illinois Wolves is going to be a focal point for him. And he was out there, actually started the period in Arizona, looking at Kylan Boswell, who's from the Champaign-Urbana area, is an exciting talent that is in 2023 as a guard that just got an offer from Kansas. So he's got that local tie that Jeff is working there as well. So they're all over the place. And Brad has always said, I don't care where they come from as long as they're players and they're about what we're about. So that's definitely staying the same.
All right. So class of 2022, that's of immediate importance here. And they need a lead guard. They need a big man, probably going four man after being a wing heavy class last class. So Jaden Epps, I might have seen him on campus when I was on campus on Thursday, getting the tour from Chester Frazier and the other Illini coaches. What do you think of Illinois, what they were able to do there and where they kind of stand in a recruitment for a former Providence commit who's got a lot of good options?
Yeah, he's a big one for Illinois, and Chester had recruited him hard for a while there at Va Tech, and he ultimately committed to Providence, but now – as soon as he opened it up, Illinois was right there with an offer and prioritizing him. Good connections. I talked to Epps' dad going into that visit, and he spoke really highly of Chester. Still trying to learn more about the program and get familiar with Brad, which they were able to do on the visit. Sounds like that was a good visit for them. They got Kansas before the end of the month, and that's going to be one to watch. I think the Kansas, you kind of highlight and say, if we're going to win this recruitment, that's who we got to beat. Mm-hmm. Frank Mason. He plays like him in terms of just a really quick score off the bounce guard that can just fill it up. And same AAU program, team loaded out there on the East Coast. That's where Frank played. So they've got those inroads and connections there. But I think that Illinois has done a good job, put themselves in a nice position for him. They're going to be a major player as far as the indications that I've gotten. And maybe it's one that you – it is going to be one you bring back on an official visit and hope to do that in the fall. So he's right at the top of their board. Like you said, guard is a priority because you're going to lose Trent. You're going to lose Plummer. You're preparing to lose Curbelo, whether it's going to be after this year or next. And you got to bring in some more guards and continue to – I mean, the big formula has been having high-level guards in this program. That's been the key the last 2 years, and you got to continue to have that to sustain success.
Man, you got a great sell with what you've been able to do with DeSumo. I'll throw Andres Felice in here. I mean, the development and his success and of course, Curbelo. And you could say to a lesser extent, maybe Trent Frazier as well. All right, Derek, Cam Corn, the Texas big man that Illinois got in immediately when Chester Frazier got here. Obviously really likes him a lot. He is here on campus. We're recording this on Monday afternoon for an official visit. This is a big one for Illinois. And to get him on campus right away for an official seems pretty encouraging. But the competition's also gotten a lot stiffer in the last month.
Yeah, it's gotten tough. It's gotten crowded for sure. You think back to Chester's opening press conference in Illinois. He talked about, you know, Kansas State. He learned how to become maybe an evaluator more than a recruiter. This was a great evaluation by him to be the first high major offer last summer. He's watching a live stream, you know, when you can't be out there for AAU, and he sees him and he knocking down threes at 6'10", and to see the athleticism that he possesses. They got in really early. He parlayed that by just developing a great relationship. You read, I have a visit primer out there if you want to check that out. Read the quotes that he has to say about Chester, the relationship that he has personally, the relationship that Chester's built with his parents. I mean, it's really impressive what Chester's been able to do. Now he's got to get that with Brad and being on campus, getting the feel and everything. But the original plan was to wait until the fall, you know, big football weekend. They were kind of looking at that Nebraska game to wait for him to get the feel of the whole campus and everything. But in the last month, he's had Texas, Kansas, Florida State offer. Earlier in the spring, he had LSU, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. So, yeah, it's gotten crazy with him. A guy that's still unranked, but you look at him, you look at his offer list, looks like a top 75 or higher type of kid. And, I mean, he's really intriguing and exciting on tape with his athleticism, stretch the floor, block shots. He's got a lot of upside.
Derek, any other visits, prospects that fans should have in mind as we go through another, weekend this weekend of evaluation, and of course, July. It's going to be a busy month ahead.
Yeah, it's progressing. I'm sure they're still trying to fill that out. You'd still like to see some of these guys in state. I mentioned Braden Huff. I know that's one that they definitely want to be able to get on campus here before July, or at least before that first evaluation period for AAU. I'd still look at, a J.J. Taylor or Day-Day Ames, those Kenwood guys they'd like to bring in. They did have Jaden Shute on campus, he's at Iowa now. He was at Michigan State this past weekend. Everybody was worried about commit watch. Not saying that
– Made it through.
Yeah, he at least made it through. At least made it through that. So that was good news for Illinois. So we'll see here. There's a bunch of prospects, a bunch of guys that – haven't seen Illinois, and they're definitely active.
I want to get to the current roster and some more finalized news about what that will look like. But, looking ahead, Derek, we're still waiting, but Josh Whitman told us, just chill. Don't worry about it. There's going to be a third assistant. It's a timing thing, which I wish Brad Underwood could have came out and said that about a month and a half ago if he knew that. Maybe calling people down in our message board especially. But when are you expecting a third assistant on the trail? How long are you expecting Tyler Underwood to handle a little bit of, hey, show up in an Illinois polo appearances?
That's a good question. Remains to be seen. I know that originally kind of the talk was you would wait to hire that support staff role, the assistant to the head coach that Jeff Alexander was in, after the third assistant. I mean, the way that Josh Whitman framed it and the way some of the buzz has come in, it seems like Illinois has their guy as far as the third assistant.
Right.
Might even know who they're going to bring in for the support staff. Being that the third assistant will be later on, maybe it's not till late July, August. Why not bring in that other guy and have him fill that role? Not that Tyler couldn't, like you said, throw on the polo and be courtside, but I could see maybe that timing now shifting to where you hire the support staff guy, you put him on the road until the other third assistant is ready. So it seems like Brad isn't talking to anybody. Like Brad, you talk to people that are in the building with him and they're like, man, we're not asking because we know doesn't really want to tell us anything. But there's
seems
some buzz
like,
out there.
Seems like, I mean, Whitman knows. So it seems like Whitman's confident. And I don't think he does that unless he's confident, right? In actually who it's going to be. And Brad doesn't seem like he's panicking or anything. So they seem pretty confident they're going to have a nice high major staff here.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. And we can all move on with our lives eventually, whenever this is done.
Eventually. All right, Derek, when we come back, we got more crystal clear information on one of the Illini's draft hopefuls. We'll talk about that and the impact of that next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
All right, Derek. So I finally, this might have been the first time I turned on Twitch, but I put on Kofi Coburn in the NBA G League Elite Camp and his 5-on-5 scrimmage. And Mark Schanowski was doing the color analyst. He does a really good job. And he was actually saying, and Mark knows his stuff, he's connected, that Kofi's projection is a mid-second rounder, late second rounder. And he sounded to say it with confidence. But I thought Kofi had a really solid performance. Nothing surprising. He was physically dominant and was in the post and, you know, had a couple dunks, looked good in the pick and rolls. At defense, sometimes looked like he can get taken advantage of from guys like Marcus Carr, which we have seen in the past. In ball screens, defense will be an issue. But he seemed to help himself. But afterwards, he told Marley Weird, our friend at WCIA3, that he is not coming back. So finally, we got it straight from him, clearly, that he is not coming back to Illinois. Not a surprise here, Derek. He deserves to go pro. There's nothing more he needs to give the program. But it does seem like Illinois has been prepared for this. Whitman said last week, we appreciate everything Kofi and Iowa have done for us. So it seems like Illinois has been planning for this for a long time, even if there was a little hope that he could come back. But after all the little clues of players' trunk, of the reports coming out, at least we got it clearly. Fans got it clearly from Kofi that he's gone.
Yep, you have that closure now. And like you said, when he's selling his gear and he retweeted the report from Andrew Slater about him staying in the draft. And I know that Brad did something with Andy Katz where he said, Kofi's going to, we're going to have to replace him because he's going to be gone. And now, like you said, hearing it from him, and you wish Kofi the best. I mean, obviously someone, if you're looking at it from Illinois' perspective, you get 2 years out of a top 50 big man who was a second team All-American, was dominant for a large stretch of his time here. I mean, you can't be mad at that. That we've seen the Diamond Stones of the world and the Deontay Davis from Michigan State 1 year. Don't really see.
Based off your
really
point,
want.
Derek, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Based on your point, like, Illinois was unbelievably fortunate to get a third year of Io DeSumo. They were pretty fortunate to get a second year of Kofi Coburn. Last year, like, there's in a non-COVID world, that might have never happened. It might have never happened to have that year. So as Whitman said last week, they will both be up in the rafters. I hope it's on the same day, full arena. Everyone can be there. But like Illinois, you know, got a little lucky to get as much of them as they could. And boy, they left the program in a really good spot. But Kofi, like, you know, I'm texting with some people yesterday and some team might feel infatuated enough to be like, that guy is so different than what we have. He's not going to be a first-round pick. He's not going to be a star in the NBA. But I can bring that guy off the bench, and he can be a problem for somebody for 10-15 minutes a game. Like, so I don't know if he's going to be drafted, but it wouldn't shock me if he's on a two-way contract next year where he can develop in the G League, make pretty good money. I think they're up to a maximum of $400,000, like a minimum of $100,000 or something like that. But where he can be one call away from making it to the NBA while he can just focus on his game. And as we've said ad nauseum, he's going to be 22 in September. So I just don't know how much he can improve his stock by coming back. So I totally get his decision, and it would not surprise me if he's on a two-way contract.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think that someone's definitely going to want his rights if it does pan out as far as the fit. And like you said, we talk so much about the style of play in the NBA and the limitations and just kind of the – I mean, you turn on an NBA game and they're running ball screens to create switches, and Kofi on an island defending in space is just something that might never be great for him. It probably isn't. And he's tried to combat that. I think he's dropped 10 to 15 pounds, and he's trying to be lighter and everything. And, of course, he's going to – his strengths are going to always, probably no matter what level, he's going to be able to rebound the basketball, finish inside. He showed his development with his touch around the rim. So we'll see. And I don't think another year at Illinois probably would have changed a whole lot for him. I mean, he would have been a dominant force and probably first team All-American, Big Ten Player of the Year type deal. But maybe it didn't matter a whole lot. And given his age, only he knows his family situation as far as where they're at and trying to support them. I mean, you can't blame him for making that step and knowing that he's going to have a professional opportunity to make money for himself and do all that. So excited to see what that pans out. And hopefully I'd love to see him get picked. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. And one for Illinois to get two guys in a draft. I mean, it's been a long time since D Brown and James Augustine were drafted in the same draft. So to get two, when you haven't had one since Myers Leonard, would be pretty cool for the Illinois program and a big feather in the cap of Brad Underwood as well. Not only for recruiting those guys, but developing them extremely well. And then you look at a future where Andre Curbelo could be in the mix. Like NBA teams are starting to look at him, but you post this and people are like, oh, good luck in Europe, Kofi. It's like, well, one, that's not a bad life. Two, most of these guys, whether it's Kendrick Nunn or Brandon Paul, like if they can get on a G League team and now with these two-way contracts, a lot more of them, like these guys are going to pursue that. They're going to pursue an NBA career for a long time. Until they think they can't happen. Like Kendrick, it happened pretty quickly. Brandon, it took a little bit more time, and then he didn't stick, so now he's playing more overseas, right? But I think Kofi will definitely pursue that for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, why not? And like you said, if you do end up overseas, you got guys like, you know, Revonte Rice making nice money over there, and we've seen a number of guys. I mean, TBT fans, Mike Dom, you think Mike Dom's having a bad time chilling in Spain and making whatever he's making, there's a good life for a player like that. But yeah, definitely in terms of just keep getting opportunities. And again, with what he does so well and just the uniqueness of him, you're going to see him in the summer league. You're going to see him maybe preseason rosters and getting a chance. So we'll see. He's just a unique case. He's a unique case that we don't see a whole lot of here recently. And it just goes back to that whole thing. I mean, this is 1995. Him and Luka Garza are going back-to-back in the top five, probably.
Right. Yeah, somewhere. Probably lottery, at least the first round. It's amazing. I think Luka translates a little bit more to the NBA just because he can shoot. He reminds me a little bit of Mehmet Okur for you early 2000s NBA fans. But defensively, man, he's got issues too, right? But Kofi just hasn't shot. But, you know, Boban is in the league. Andre Drummond is in the league. Udoka Azuke is in the league. Like, there's some guys that are in the league making money just to be kind of that rotational matchup problem big. Okay, Derek, so Kofi definitely gone. Illinois has Omar Payne. They added him knowing Kofi was likely to go. And I think that's a nice piece for them. But they have a lot of question marks and two open scholarships left. So Coleman Hawkins is obviously going to be a big part of this. Jacob Grandison probably going to have to play a little bit more for this year. But it seems like they'll be in that transfer portal, and we'll see what opens up. We'll see what opens up after the NBA draft and some of those guys who are in the G League camp, if they open things up. But there's a lot to play out left with that with that front court rotation, because they still need one piece if they're going to be, you know, contending for one of the top spots in the Big Ten.
Yeah, absolutely. They know they need another big man who can make an impact, at least be a rotational piece, right, to play behind Omar Payne and be able to have that depth there, because you don't want to go too thin to where it's Omar, Coleman, and then behind him it's Lieb or BBV, who we're not having high expectations for. So they're going to be in the mix. They're going to be active. Right now it's died down as far as just what's available and what is out there. But there is an expectation that once this pre-draft process finishes up here over the next 3 weeks and guys are going to have to make decisions, and those that it's clear aren't going to get picked, probably come back to college, and maybe they don't go back to where they played last year. So they're going to be active in doing that. There's still just the uncertainty of who are those players going to be and all of that. But they know that they definitely need a big man. They have been encouraged just based on what limited they've seen of Payne here recently. I mean, he's a really good athlete, can run the floor, can defend. They're going to be able to do some different things with him. But they need another big man, especially because there are questions of Coleman, you know, defending fives, rebounding, and then everything behind him.
So what is the most interesting thing of – of summer workouts now that those have started. Players are back on campus. The freshmen are here. I don't know if we expect a huge impact, especially because they have so many wings with Trent Frazier, DeMonte, and Grandison, and now Austin Hutcherson. That might be one of the most interesting storylines to me, just to see if he's playing, how he's playing. What's the most interesting to you as workouts start?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest storylines is just Coleman's development and what he's going to ultimately be able to bring for you this year. Because I just think as a four-man, he's, because of his skill level, his ability to stretch the floor, his height, he can bring a lot to the table. I think he can help you do, you know, we haven't seen any pick and pops, any kind of like the short roll where you can, you know, roll him. And if you do blitz Curbelo, you can dump it off to him, you know, around the free throw line, and he's a good passer, can make some decisions. I just think he could elevate that ceiling and floor both if he is ready to really step in as a sophomore and do some really good things. Of course, Payne is going to be – it's going to be interesting to see how ready he is to be your guy at the five. I just mentioned Coleman can play there, but to be your starter and, you know – I don't know that what went wrong at Florida maybe matters now, but just getting from that spot where he's a backup big man to now being your starter and replacing Kofi, those are big shoes to fill. So that's going to be intriguing. And then, yeah, I think another storyline is with the freshmen is one asserting themselves as, okay, we can count on a Brandon Podzimski, RJ Melendez, Luke Goody for quality minutes to make an impact off the bench. I've heard some really good things early on about RJ. Just love his athleticism, his length, something they haven't necessarily really had here recently. I know that Brandon can really shoot the three. Goody's kind of that all-around player that I think he's going to need some time to progress and get stronger and everything. But can one of those guys be someone you – I don't know you have to count on too much. You have a lot of depth. You have veterans and you have a lot of depth, but – can one kind of say, okay, we're going to bring him off the bench and he's going to help us early on. And I would throw in one little nugget here. Alfonso Plummer's impressing people, like can really get out and go, can really shoot the three. Apparently he's had a really good time here in some pickup games that
good dude's a bucket, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's a vet. I mean, he's like 23 or whatever it may be. And but he can fill it up. There's been some excitement about his game.
All right, I'm heading to Hoop Math right now. All right, I think KenPom has this stat of what numbers or what percentage of shots Illinois shot threes. It wasn't a lot, right? Like this year, they are going to be launching. They are going to be – I mean, their team is set up to launch threes. When you have potentially on the court at one time there, Andre Curbelo not going to shoot a lot of threes, though I think we can expect more, right? Frazier – Plummer, DeMonte Williams, potentially all on the court at the same time. Like, those are three really great shooters, and that's how this team is built. Like, I think pace and space is going to be true more than ever with Kofi gone, right? Like, this team changes a lot, both offensively and defensively, for the worse. And in some regards, obviously, he's a consensus second team All-American. They're going to shoot a bunch of threes, a bunch. Like, last year, their percentage of three-pointers was 24.4%. That was 318 in Division One. I imagine that's going to be top 75, top 50 next year.
Yeah, I know that Underwood made a comment this weekend. He's like, we're going to play like the Jazz probably. Just playing, you know, throwing up a lot of threes. You know that Omar is going to be that rim-rolling big man, but if Coleman is playing some five, or regardless, he's going to be shooting the three as well. We know Grandison can do it. That's going to be a big emphasis. We transition from throw it on the block to Kofi or get Io in the mid-range, going to the rim. Now you have a lot of shot makers, and that is going to definitely be up and down pace and hoisting it up for sure.
By the way, I want to give one shout-out to Mike Latulip. Our boy's doing a heck of a job recruiting. Lands Brandon Paul. I think of that backcourt for House of Pain and the TBT, man. You're going to have Andres Felice, Revonte Rice, and Brandon Paul all in the same backcourt. Oh, and Mike Dom in the front court with a nice piece. Nana Egwu, they got some solid big men. But
McCamey.
I mean, they are loaded on the wing, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. It's coming up next month, man. And, just that physicality of those three you mentioned at the start there with Felice and Rice and Paul, that's going to be fun. guys that can defend, guys that can get into the lane and make some plays. And obviously, Rivante and Paul can both just absolutely fill it up. And Felice showed that he could, you know, shoot the three last year a little bit better than he did as an Illini. So, yeah, that's going to be really fun. And they put on a show last year. I know they're going to do it again.
They got a chance to make money, man. Well, Derek Piper, congrats on the big week, man. Give our best to Haley with the big wedding. And then I know you were in heaven this weekend out on the road. So appreciate you sharing some insight about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And get back after it here coming forward this weekend and ongoing. So thanks for the best wishes, and we'll do this again soon.
Great stuff as always from Derek Piper, who is back in his natural habitat this weekend in a Midwest gym or a gym anywhere in the cross country, checking out prospects and talking with coaches. So we'll have a lot more on Illini basketball coming up later this week. I just caught up with one of the new offers as well. I still have that for you at Illini Inquirer, as well as all of the football recruiting information, as well as Illinois continues to host visits. They got another camp this weekend as well. And there's plenty of news on the college sports front. Huge decision by the Supreme Court. It's actually pretty limited in scope, but the Alston case, which Josh Whitman has told us has been undercovered, has been decided. And I'll have some of that reaction in our Daily Digest on Tuesday, but I'm hoping to get somebody on this podcast that is smarter than I, knows law better than I, even though I took a couple courses in the University of Illinois that were in constitutional law and one First Amendment law. But this Brett Kavanaugh's opinion is pretty big. It sets up that the NCAA is not going to hold muster to any antitrust case. So while this decision is pretty limited in scope, only deals with educational benefits that student athletes can get, Brett Kavanaugh basically took a blowtorch to the NCAA model and said, none of this really holds muster to antitrust laws. So you better figure out a solution. Otherwise, we could be back in court. And you might not like the solution that comes from all of it. So going to be very, very interesting to see how that goes forward. I would encourage you, if you're very interested, to read Brett Kavanaugh's concurring opinion. It's only about 5 pages compared to a lot of legalese, a lot of antitrust history and information in the full opinion. But Brett Kavanaugh's opinion is definitely worth reading on its own. So hopefully at some point I can get somebody to break that all down for you in kind of more simplistic terms for us non-lawyers. Okay, so we'll try that at some point on the podcast. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate that. Also, rate us, review us. That helps us out as well. And if you're not an Illini Inquirer VIP member, it's just $1 for your first month. If you want to give us a try, first month, $1. Check it out. And if you don't like it, you don't have to keep up with it. So $1 for your first month. Give us a try. It's always a good bet. And I think you'll stay on based on all the content that we have. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flake.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.